Blog Talk Radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through.
Good evening, and welcome to Atlanta Life Radio presents There Is Life After Layoff. We want to thank all of our listeners who tune in each and every Tuesday. And for those of you, if this is your first time, grab a pad, a pen, and sit back and enjoy as you listen and share the conversation with Allie Ward and Doc, as Allie shares her journey of self-discovery and empowerment after being laid off. And also, you will hear inspiring and uplifting information from Doc, and also from Doc as our minister. So we want to thank you for tuning in, and we have a lot to share with you tonight. The opinions expressed on this radio program are for discussion or inspirational purposes only. They do not serve as treatment or as a professional diagnosis. All listeners are advised that neither the host or Web Talk Radio agent shall be held liable for the content of program, including any advice given. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions based upon receiving appropriate consultation with a licensed professional, and who have been given the opportunity to consider completely each listener's circumstances and not in reliance upon the content of this Web Talk Radio program. Now sit back, enjoy, and I present to you There Is Life After Layoff. And now, here's Allie.
Hello, and welcome to the next episode of There Is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host, and along with my co-host, Minister Dr. Regina Ward, the founder of Elise Psychological Services and who is a licensed professional counselor specializing in anxiety, adjustment, and depressive disorders, it is always our pleasure to be your guides as I take this journey of self-discovery and empowerment after recently being laid off, and as Doc affirms normalcy of feelings while offering you practical solutions. Now, please join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And you can follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And if you wish to contact us directly, you can do so via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And I'm also tweeting, so you can follow me on Twitter at AllieWard45. On behalf of Doc and myself, we thank you for listening and for joining us once again as we share with you our insights into the experience of being laid off. Good evening, Doc. I am so happy to have you join me again tonight. Now, Doc, as we continue with yet another topic that was revealed to us through the reading of our first book club selection, The Shack by William Young, it has really been amazing to me how many very profound and far-reaching issues were interwoven into just one book. What are your thoughts on that?
Hi, Allie. These days seem to come so fast, but you're exactly right. I was just thinking earlier that actually, I guess, I really wonder what the author meant for people to get from the book, but most of the time when people talk about the book, they talk about the tragedy, but it's so much more. You can't even get stuck on the tragedy for all the other topics, as you stated, that are pulled from there. And tonight is definitely one of those cases, so I'm very excited to be a part of this conversation tonight.
Absolutely. Thank you again, Doc, for your comments, once again, for joining me. Now, but once again, before we get ready to jump into tonight's conversation, As always, I must remind those of you who may be listening for the first time or who may be calling in for the first time that we are here to use this forum as a way to uplift, as a way to empower, and hopefully to inspire those of you who have been affected by a layoff. We are not here to complain, ridicule, or point fingers at our former employers or colleagues or any individuals. And we are definitely not here to feel sorry for ourselves. We are here so I can share with you my journey of rediscovery and empowerment. But most of all, Doc and I are here to serve the community and to give you a voice by offering you an opportunity to share your story so that you know that you're not alone and that we can get through this together. Okay, so now it's time for us to get started. And those of you who tuned in last week may have remembered that I had the honor of making a major announcement regarding one of our new There Is Life After Layoff radio show concepts entitled Turn It Up Tuesday. Now, as I previously mentioned, it is a show that will be focused on bringing you music that will inspire you or that has inspired Doc and I along this journey that God has blessed us with. Now, we all have that one song or two, or maybe even more, that we have felt inspired by every time that we hear it. Well, one of those songs that has inspired us here at There Is Life After Layoff has been our theme song for the show, Failure Is Not Final. Now, this is one of those songs that every time I listen to it, I am blessed with yet another message for life from, you know, hearing the words of the song. And so with that said, it is with great pleasure that and excitement that I am pleased to announce that on Tuesday, April 30th, we will be joined live on air by Palmer Williams Jr. for our first Turn It Up Tuesday show. Yes, you've seen him on Tyler Perry's House of Pain as Floyd the Barber, and as well in many stage plays written by Tyler Perry. But he's also a writer and an accomplished musician. So we will be highlighting music from his recently released album entitled Neo Saved, on which you will find our theme song. Excuse me. And as well, we will be talking to Palmer about his journey and what inspires him. So remember to mark your calendar and to tell your friends and family to tune in to listen to There Is Life After Layoff on April 30th because you won't want to miss it. And also, I made an announcement that we have made our next book club selection. We will be reading the book entitled Room of Marvels, which is written by James Bryan Smith. Now, I'm just letting you know now so that you can go out and get the book, but we probably won't launch the official reading of this book until sometime in June or July. But you have time to get the book. If you want to read ahead, you can do that. The book is available through Amazon.com, Half.com, ChristianBook.com. There are Kindle versions, ebook versions. For those of you who prefer to read it through Kindle or just even, you know, listen to the book, the audio version of the book, you can go ahead and get that. And a lot of the prices that I saw were less than $10. I've actually gotten my copy of the book at this point. And if you will indulge me, I'd like to read just a brief excerpt from the back cover of that book just so you know what type of novel we're getting into reading, Doc. So here I go. Yeah. Three deaths in 3 years, his mother, his best friend, and now his two-year-old daughter, Madison. For best-selling Christian author Tim Hudson, the shoes are dropping faster than he can count or cope with. If you've ever felt that way, alone, betrayed, abandoned, or if you've perhaps begun to doubt the very truths that hold your faith together, prepare to find something precious waiting for you at the end of this masterful dream, this masterful dreamlike tale, a journey between raw nerves and pure, pulsating reality. Finding your room of marvels will give you a reason to live again. Wow, that sounds like that's going to be a good one. I actually started reading it, Doc. It hasn't really gotten to the exciting part yet, but I'm getting there, so I'm looking forward to, you know, all the action starting, I guess, in the book, the meat and potatoes of the book.
Right.
So as we move forward, I'd also like to encourage those of you who are loyal listeners, you can still go out to the Atlanta Life Radio website if you've missed any of our past recorded shows. You can still listen to them. They are all out there archived for you to catch up on what you've missed, and especially the Fireside Chat with Civil Rights Living Legend, Dr. C.T. Vivian. So I encourage you to please continue to listen to the past podcasts and tell your friends and family about it if they want to catch up as well. Now, for those loyal listeners, again, who have been tuning in on a weekly basis, for our book club members who just recently finished reading the book, The Shack by William Young, then you know that we have been dealing with, and as Doc mentioned, with the many issues that were connected so brilliantly by our author, Mr. Young. Now, last week we spent time dealing with the issue of strongholds in our lives, but even deeper than that, we even talked about the impact that generational strongholds have had throughout our families over the years. And I think one of our callers, if you recall, Doc, even went back as far as slavery, which Right. really brought a lot into perspective. Now, one other major issue that was brought out in the novel was that of forgiveness, but more importantly, the poison of unforgiveness, okay? Mm. Now, as you recall, the young daughter of our main character, Mac, was kidnapped and brutally murdered by a man who they coined the Little Lady Killer. Now, it was Papa, also known as God, who urged Mac to forgive his daughter's killer for himself, but more importantly, because Papa said to Mac, and I quote, "Mac, for you to forgive this man is for you to release him to me and allow me to redeem him." Okay. Now, of course, our main character, Mac, didn't understand this at all. And actually, he made the statement to Papa that he wanted Papa to actually hurt him and punish this man for what he had done to his daughter, Missy. Now, because Mac thought that by forgiving his daughter's killer, that it meant that he would have to forget what he had done, well, Papa quickly reminded Mac that forgiveness is not about forgetting. He said that it is about letting go. Now, listen to this. This jumped out at me, Doc. It's about letting go of another person's throat, okay? So what came next, though, really made me stop and think. Mac made this comment. He said, "I thought that God forgot all about our sins." And this is what Papa responded to Mac. He said, "I am God. I forget nothing. I know everything, but because of Jesus, there is no law demanding that I bring your sins back to mine." Isn't that deep? That statement right there was like, oh, my goodness, really?
Mm-hmm.
Just think about that for a minute. Because, look, we oftentimes forget that Jesus died for our sins to be forgiven.
Mm.
But know that God, you know, he sees all, he knows all, and he evaluates all. Now, when I heard that statement, it's funny because I used to actually have that quote on a sticky note taped to my overhead cabinet on my desk when I was working because it helped put in perspective, and I used it as a reminder for me to remember that I ultimately worked for and represented God in spirit and in truth. And he expected me to do my job in the spirit of excellence because I worked for him. So now as we move forward, I think it's really important. I made this statement before. Let's, first of all, define forgiveness. We need to know what we're talking about. When I really, really sat down and I thought about it, forgiveness actually just simply means that I give up my right to hurt you or somebody else for hurting me. But much more than that, the word forgive means to wipe the slate clean, to pardon, or to cancel a debt.
Hmm.
Now, we have to also keep in mind that forgiveness is not given because the other person deserves it, but that it is an act of love, grace, and mercy on our part, the person who's doing the forgiving. And I think that, Doc, right there is key because a lot of people get stuck in wanting to forgive others because they feel like they don't deserve it, you know? excuse me. Now, over the years, there have been many people throughout my life that I've had to learn to forgive. We've all been hurt. But how do you do that? So with that question, I began doing some serious soul searching some time ago about forgiveness. And so what better place to start than in the Bible and what the Word of God says about it? So in doing that, I found several reasons to support why we should forgive in the Word of God. First and foremost, we should be forgive, simply forgive, and this is probably the one that everybody remembers or should remember. We should forgive because we were forgiven by God. Okay, now you can find that supported in Ephesians 4:32. And also, we should forgive out of obedience to God because he wants us to forgive, so we need to be obedient to his word and forgive others. And also, forgiving others helps us to gain control of our lives from hurt emotions. Because a lot of times, you are overtaken by your emotions and your feelings of hurt and what you've experienced, and you're out of control. You don't have control over yourself anymore. And lastly, forgiveness also helps us to so that we won't become poisoned by bitterness and resentment that ultimately then will affect others who are around us. Because we're so bitter, you know, and angry, our loved ones who have nothing probably to do with the situation are being affected by our negative feelings. But and what most people probably don't know that when you walk around and you harbor that bitterness and resentment, and you could probably talk a little bit about this later on, that what most people don't realize is that when you harbor unforgiveness, which then, like I said, leads to bitterness, some medical researchers have found that this has actually been linked to stress-related illnesses. And so, you know, because you're internalizing that bitterness and it's building up and festering inside of you, and, you know, you then get to a point where for lack of a better way to describe it, you can crack under pressure, I guess. With that said, so that when we are helping, who are we helping more? You have to ask yourself this question. Who are we helping more when we choose to forgive, yourself or the other person? Now, I didn't realize this for years, Doc, but it actually helped me more when I chose to forgive. Because first and foremost, it released God to do his work in me. I have actually got to say that once I finally understood the concept of forgiveness, I was able to finally move forward from being stuck and past mistakes because I was no longer condemning myself. But what I was finally at a point where I could also then forgive myself for those mistakes. Now, at that point, then my relationship and my walk with God really started to grow because I was, you know, like I mentioned just a few minutes ago, I was able to forgive myself, and then that made me more readily and able to forgive others. So when I chose not to forgive, what I didn't realize at the time was that I was literally blocking my own blessings.
That's good.
Because it didn't, by my not forgiving others, it did not allow God to release what he wanted me to have because I was stuck in anger, bitterness, and resentment towards the people who had hurt me. And just to put it really simply, I had to learn to get out of my own way. I had to realize that I was in my own way. So there was one situation in particular which I was harboring unforgiveness and bitterness in my heart. And get this, Doc, I walked around with it in my heart for years, and I didn't even remember or even realize that I was still holding on to it. Okay? It had been occupying and festering in my heart for years. So I guess you're wondering, how did I finally realize that I was holding on to this unresolved unforgiveness? It was actually triggered now by the pending death of the person who I was holding the unforgiveness towards. Isn't that crazy? So for years, and this is kind of in a nutshell what happened and what the unforgiveness was about, I was actually blaming this person for not taking better care of a loved one who had gotten sick many, many years ago, and ended up being a terminal disease, and this person eventually, you know, died. Well, I was holding unforgiveness towards the other family member because I have rationalized in my mind that had this person been more in tune with what was going on and taking better care of my loved one, then it could have meant that my other family member would have lived longer or had a better chance of survival. I had come up with all of that myself, okay? I was judge and jury, okay? Now, we have no way of knowing whether or not if this person had paid better attention and got them to a doctor sooner or what have you, whether or not that would have changed any of the outcome. We just really don't know that. But I had made up in my mind that it was their fault, okay? And to me, they contributed to the death of somebody whom I loved dearly. Now, when this unforgiveness resurfaced, I remembered that I had made the statement that I would never forgive this person for it. Okay. And so once I realized that I was still holding on to this unforgiveness, I had to ask God to help me release this bitterness from my heart and from my life. And I don't know if you recall, Doc, I may have even asked you about that at one point, where I think I may have asked you the question about can you forgive somebody who is already passed away? Yes. And do you remember that? So, you know, I was dealing with that. I was really dealing with that, and it bothered me. But I was able to let it go before the person passed away. So that was a good step in my part. Now, there have also been other situations that I have chosen to forgive others who have hurt me. Now, one such situation is that of that emotionally abusive relationship that I've mentioned many times before that I was involved in. Now, I was seriously damaged emotionally from that situation, but I knew that if I was ever going to be able to move forward in my life and to be able to experience a healthy relationship, that I had to learn to forgive that other person. And this was extremely hard to do for a very long time because I was stuck and feeling sorry for myself. I felt like a failure and that I would never, ever be able to have a healthy relationship with another man, you know, what have you. And I would not be experiencing and having the relationship that I have now. So it's at this point that I'd like to just quickly stop and say, tell my husband, Cedric, thank you for 12 years. We just celebrated our 12th wedding anniversary on this past Sunday, and I want to tell him thank you for 12 wonderful years and for blessing my life, and I love him very much. So I just thought I'd throw that out there, give him a quick shout out. So of course, you know, this is all easier said than done, but you have to, like I said, go back to what the word says. And in that word, I found some practical instructions for how we are to obey God's word and what he says about how to forgive others. First and foremost, you have to decide that you want to forgive. You have to forgive even if you don't feel like it, because you know what? If you wait to feel like it, you're never going to do it, okay? You also have to depend, meaning you have to learn how to depend on the Holy Spirit and God's help in order to forgive, because it's really hard to do on your own. You have to be willing to humble yourself and cry out for and ask for God's help and help him to breathe the Holy Spirit in you so you can learn how to forgive those who hurt you. Don't think that you can do it on your own, because most times it won't work. And then lastly, what I found was that you have to obey. Now, we must obey God's word. And guess what? It says in that word, we are to pray for our enemies, for those people who may have abused us and misused us. And that's really hard to do. That's why you've got to ask for God's help to do it. And ask for God to reveal to them their deception, because you know what? A lot of times people don't even really know that they've hurt you. So we need to ask God to reveal to them what they've done to hurt us. And then also, we have to ask, in praying for them, we have to ask God to bless them. And then, oh my goodness, this is a big one and a toughie. Stop repeating it over and over again. Because you know what? You cannot walk in forgiveness and be a gossip. Okay, now, that was, like I said, that's a hard one. And it's probably one of the toughest things that I had to learn how to resist because, and then mostly, you know, I found that to be true in the workplace now. Let me relate that back to the workplace. It's really hard to stay out of office gossip. There's always somebody who's disgruntled or somebody who is upset about, you know, some decision that was made or something that's not fair, this and that. And I really had to make a conscious effort to try not to get caught up into the negativity and wanting to see how many people I can get on my bandwagon when something happened that I didn't agree with. Now, but don't get me wrong, because, you know, we, and you know this especially, Doc, that we all need to vent every now and then. But what we have to learn to not to do is to keep repeating it over and over and over again to whomever may listen. We have to learn how to just vent and let it go and keep it moving. Now, that was a hard one for me because I like to talk, as you know. But but anyway, please also remember that when you are thinking about those who we need to forgive, at the top of that list, and we oftentimes don't think about this, don't forget to forgive yourself. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, guess what? Don't hold on to unforgiveness towards God, all right? Forgive God if you're angry with him because you think that your life is not what you had hoped it would be, okay? We serve a just God who loves us, and there are just maybe some things that you don't understand. He knows what the plan is that he has for our life, that he's laid it out. He knew it before we were born, okay? We have to learn how to trust him, because he knows what's best for us, and that's not always easy to do. And that brings to mind something that I heard, and I don't really know or remember where I heard it, but I wanted to share it because it's simply put, it says, if you want to make God laugh, then make plans. Mm-hmm. isn't that funny? And I leave you with this. Make up your mind to get rid of all the poison that comes from bitterness, resentment, and unforgiveness. And in doing so, remember what it says in Proverbs 4:23. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, for out of it flows the issues of life. Now, as we wind down to take our first station break, we encourage you to call us if you want to share your layoff experience or anything relating to tonight's topic or any of our other show topics with the listening audience, or if you just simply want to make a comment. You can reach us at 347-324-5246. Make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air lineup in our host queue. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio with your hosts, Ali and Doc. Please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you
listening to Atlanta Life's Radio, There Is Life After Layoff, with our host, Allie Ward, and her co-host, Doc. Grab a pen, your journal, or piece of paper, sit back, and enjoy the conversation. And if you feel that you want to join us, call in at 347-324-546. Again, at 347-324-5246. And remember to press the magic number 1 and to be placed on air. We want to thank all of our listeners. And if you have any organizations or companies sponsorships, please contact me at AtlantaLifeRadio.com. And now, back into
Allie. Thank you, Melinda. We are back, and if you are just joining us, welcome. And you are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.AtlantaLifeRadio.com. And I'm your host, Ollie, and along with my co-host, Dot, please join us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. And you can also follow me on my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And I'm on Twitter at AllieWard45, so please follow me. Now, Doc, as we continue our discussion tonight, I wanted to ask you something. From a ministerial and a psychological point of view, can you share with our listeners the devastating effects that harboring unforgiveness can have on a person's life?
I sure can. And Allie, you did a great job when you said about what you found out about unforgiveness and how it can cause physical harm. I recall last year or the year before last, and I was working on a sermon, and it really was about hurt, letting go of hurt, and forgiveness came up within that. And as I was writing about forgiveness, I clearly heard God say that forgiveness is like a blood clot. And I continued to hear him say, as he's trying to get his healing blood to our heart, the unforgiveness will not allow it to pass through. And I started to see how it unforgiveness causes spiritual and physical harm and even death. Because as we stated in another show, it's not when we see the word and break the word disease down, it really is dis-ease. And that's what unforgiveness causes to our body. It causes dis-ease. This is a very, very difficult subject. Every client and a person that has been challenged with it or asked me about it, I don't take it lightly. And the first thing I want to say to our listening audience, it's not easy. So I want to talk about some misconceptions of what a lot of people have about forgiveness and or unforgiveness. This is one of the major topics that a lot of people need more education or greater understanding about. One of the misconceptions is that I have to be friends or have a relationship with the person that wronged me. And that's furthest from the truth. If we look back even in the shack, and I really say the author did an awesome job on the topic of forgiveness. So right now I invite our listeners that haven't purchased the book, The Shack by William Paul Young. If you need more information and education about forgiveness, this book is an awesome, awesome tool about that. But what he did say is when Mackenzie, the father of the young lady that was murdered, was struggling with forgiveness, he said, you don't have to have a relationship with this man. At least not yet. Forgiveness does not establish relationships. So, again, don't feel like you have to be chummy-chummy or buddy-buddy or even talk to the person that wronged you. Another misconception is that I have to physically go to the person that wronged me, hurt me. And when we talk about wrong, hurt, it could be a breakup. It could be a rape or molestation. It could be anything that a person did to violate you or even violated your trust and or friendship. It could be a divorce. So whatever that wrong was that has a person stuck, please understand that you don't have to go physically acknowledge that you forgive that person. I give the illustration, if a stove is hot, and you touch that hot stove, would you continue to go back and touch that hot stove? That's just like a person that wronged you. You never have to go back in the presence of that person that violated or wronged you. And another misconception is, if I forgive them, I'm letting them off the hook for the wrong that they've done. This is very hard. This is one of the biggest hang-ups that a person has, that I'm letting them off the hook. Number one, you're not letting them off the hook. You're letting yourself off the hook. And I think if we can get to or change the perception, again, that forgiveness is about the other person and understand it's about us, then we could break that misconception. Another one is the person that wronged me is thinking about what they did to me on a daily basis. Furthest from the truth. Generally, a lot of times a person that has wronged us have gone on with their life, and a lot of times they don't even recall or remember how they wronged you. So while we carry unforgiveness for years and we're stuck and can't move past that unforgiveness, again, that person has gone on with their life. This is a very important one. I am alone in having to forgive. Never feel like this is not a situation or a process that you even need to go through alone. Please rely on, number one, God to aid in your healing. And again, in our book, that was the author did a great job in talking about how Papa, it's about Jesus Christ that allows the healing, like you stated, basically to help redeem and help him through that process of forgiveness, or even your spiritual leader. Go to your spiritual leader and have them help you work through that process, a friend or even a professional. And lastly, people make it seem like it's easy when they say, well, it's just a choice to forgive. I want to just let our listeners know this is not an easy process at all. So when you hear us talk about it, it's not that it's easy, but it's a necessity, and more importantly, it's a commandment from God. Again, Allie, yes, it's something that I deal with from a ministerial point of view, from a professional point of view, and even a personal standpoint. And again, it's one of those topics that I feel like many people have a misconception about, and I'm hoping and I really feel confident that tonight we have, you know, answered some questions that people have. And definitely, if there are more questions, please post it to AtlantaLifeRadio.com. And we definitely will do all we can to help those individuals with those questions.
And I want to make this other point. When we talked about, when I mentioned about forgiving does not mean forgetting. One thing that I neglected to say is that God doesn't really want us, I don't believe he wants us to forget it, because then if we forget, we can be doomed to repeat the same mistake. So I think he wants us to be in remembrance of what we experienced and the hurt that it was the outcome of whatever decision we made, you know, whatever the case may be, so that we can learn from that experience so that we're not doomed to repeat it. So I really believe that that's why we are not to forget, and he doesn't forget. So because when he doesn't forget, you know what? That tells him, okay, this person needs growth in this area. So I'm going to continue to work with them. Don't you believe that?
That is good. And when you said that, what it reminds me of is when Jesus was nailed to the cross, and when he was down, he had to show even some of the disciples his wounds so that they can believe. So I really believe that God, when he heals, that he leaves scars again for the growth and for us to, as a ministry to ourselves and to other people, because our hurts really are for other people. So you're exactly right.
Right. Now, as we move forward, thanks again for sharing that, Doc, because it really made me think about some key areas that I hadn't even thought about, especially a part about, you know, being alone and forgiving. I hadn't really thought about that, you know, but we're never alone because God is with us. But as we move forward, if we have any callers, we can take callers at this time, or if we don't have any callers on the queue, we can continue with our discussion and talk about some of the questions that we have surrounding this topic. Melinda, do we have any callers in the queue?
We have a wonderful listening audience with us today. We have no one in the queue, so let's keep you and Doc keep the dialogue going. But our virtual lounge of listeners are with us, and they're tentatively listening to the conversation.
Okay. Awesome. Okay, Doc, let's just go through some of those questions that we have.
Okay, and before we get into question, again, I want to kind of go back to the book to kind of reiterate some of those misconceptions I stated.
Okay.
One of the things that Papa told Mac was forgiveness is first for you, the forgiver.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
as he stated, and I love this, he said it's to release you from something that will eat you alive. And so that goes back to when we talk about disease or something that would destroy your joy and your ability to love fully and openly. So when we hold on to unforgiveness, again, it keeps us from having a life and an abundant life. And what he said, and you know, it's so funny when God can be so real to us. He said, do you think this man cares about pain and the torment you've gone through? If anything, he feeds on that. That is a deep, very deep comment, you know. So a lot of times, and we've talked about this before, hurt people hurt people.
Mm-hmm,
if you really investigate people, and we've talked about strongholds in our last show, but if you really investigate people that have hurt us, again, be it relationships, be it divorce, be it in violation from molestation and rape, if you go deep into their history, they've been hurt and violated. So because the stronghold wasn't broken off them, they continue to perpetuate the problem and the hurt on to the other person. So you have to be the one to break it so you don't continue to perpetuate. I remember one time my pastor did a sermon about fingerprints. And when you don't forgive, you begin to take on that place or that crime. So you're just as guilty as the person that doesn't forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And fingerprint is left there on you. So, again, this is a commandment that we must forgive.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so with that being said, Allie, I want to ask you to describe a time in which you had to forgive. And I know you talked about regarding a family member. Is there another time where you've had to forgive?
Of course, yes. I talked about the fact that, you know, the abusive relationship. But when I really had to think about it and just really think about why are we here? Why are we here hosting this show? Okay. I had to say that the reason why we are here is because I got laid off.
Right.
Now, in that moment, I chose to forgive my former employer for laying me off. And I honestly believe in my heart of hearts that that is why God chose to bless me with the vision for first starting the blog, and then which resulted in us being given the opportunity to host this show together. Because I chose peace in the midst of that negative situation, and I knew that God would take care of me, provide for me, I strongly believe that my attitude played a key role in God allowing me to be blessed with that vision. And I decided, I made the choice to not walk away with bitterness and resentment in my heart. Because you know what? In that moment, God said to me, I've got something else for you. So when God is telling you he has something for you, that is the best person to be told that, you know.
Right.
You want to hear that from God, right? If you don't want to hear from anybody else, you want to hear that from God. And so in that moment, I chose not to, you know, be bitter and resentful because I was thankful, first of all, for all the great relationships that I had built up over the years, the, you know, all my former colleagues and what have you, because those friendships are not going to go anywhere. They're still there. They're just a phone call away, a visit away. And, you know, there were other people that got laid off at the same time that I did who I know didn't have the same attitude. But as I faced them and my other colleagues, you know, everybody wants to come and, you know, try to get me into having a pity party, and I didn't want to do that because I didn't feel sorry for myself at that time. I felt blessed. I felt like God was preparing me for something, and when God tells you he got your back, I got you, I'm going to take care of you, I was good. That's all I needed to hear. And so I kept it moving, and so, you know, I chose in that moment to forgive whoever made the decision, and I know it was all, you know, from a higher-up authority in, you know, corporate America. And it just, you know, I was just one of those victims that got caught up in that. And, you know, but I don't take it personal. It's business.
That's good. That's good. What specific steps did you take to get to the point of forgiveness?
Up to that point, for months leading up to that, I had really gotten to being sick and tired of being bitter, angry, and just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I made that statement before. I decided to really start focusing on trying to walk, or learning to walk, in the peace that God had already given me in his word. I just wasn't applying it in my life. So, you know, and I realized that because I didn't know how to get it out of my own way, that I was my own worst enemy at times. And I had to learn, okay, what was I doing to be in my own way? So I had to finally sit myself still and learn how to be quiet and listen to the Holy Spirit speak to me. Okay, I started paying attention to the situations in my life. And one resource that really helped me, and I think I've made mention of this before, was a book that I read that was entitled The Bait of Satan by John Bevere. And it made me really look at the spirit of offense and how easily we are offended. And that was helping me to realize, okay, you got to let go of being offended so easily, because then that was leading me to, you know, not wanting to be a forgiving person because I was always offended by something. And so that book really helped me to open my eyes and see just how cunning and how easy it was for the enemy to bait me into that, hence the name of the book, The Bait of Satan. And so, I also strongly urge those of you who are listening, get that book. It's by John Bevere, and it is profound. It will open up your eyes. And I'm telling you, the spirit of offense can manifest itself in the smallest of issues, in the smallest of situations. When you least expect it, it's going to just jump out and get you, and you don't even realize it. But now I'm at a point where the Holy Spirit says, stops me immediately in my tracks and says, you're taking a spirit of offense. And I have to back off and say, okay, Lord, forgive me for being offended. And then, you know, I pray and ask for him to see the other person's point of view and, you know, what their point might be, and not take that as a personal attack on me. It really, really just helped me focus and to nip it in the bud before it even got a chance to fester and take off and escalate into something, you know, that really wasn't even meant to be anything. So that was key in helping me learn how to forgive.
This is a good one. Do you feel like it's easier to forgive a friend, a loved one, or a coworker, or even yourself? Which one is easier, you think, to forgive?
Now, you know what? And that's funny, because when I was thinking about this, that question, I said to myself, that's a good one. So you and I see eye to eye on that one. Excuse me. So if I had to really put those in order of who is the easiest to forgive down to the hardest, the order that I would choose would be the easiest person, I think, would be a coworker. okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then a friend, and I'm going to tell you why in a minute, then a loved one, and then lastly, myself, okay?
Mm.
The reason why I put it in that particular order is because I feel like it's easiest to forgive somebody who's not that close to your heart.
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, we always expect more from the people closest to our heart. So when they hurt or disappoint us, it affects us more.
That's
so what has helped me in this area, well, and in with relation to myself being at the bottom of that list, you're always hardest on yourself.
Yes.
So that's why I put myself at the bottom of the list in that, you know, respect to those four categories, because you're always condemning yourself. You're always harder on yourself. So that's why I'm kind of at the bottom, and I have to change that, you know. But I'm working on that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I have also learned to do, though, Doc, was I had to learn to understand and accept the people closest to me for who they are and try not to put them on a pedestal that they don't even know they've been put on.
Right.
And to expect more from them than what they're ready to give or can give. Let's put it that way. Okay.
Right. Exactly.
So I've learned to see each person for who they are in a particular situation. I take it for what it's worth. And I've also learned how to go to God and ask Him to work on changing people who I feel may need to grow spiritually in a particular area. But understand this, that when I ask and I pray and ask God to intervene, I don't ask God to change them to be what I want them to be.
Mm.
I ask for His will to be done. And I also ask Him to reveal to me if I might be wrong in that particular situation. Because you know what? It's not about being right, but it's about being inside the will and doing the will of God and what God expects us to do. So, you know, you have to really realize that when you're praying, okay, no, don't pray to change that person to what you, you know, want them to be. It needs to be God's will, you know, and a person's not going to change unless God thinks that they need to change, and God is the only one who's going to change them. So that's the order that I would put that in.
Great. And lastly, what advice will you give our listeners who struggle with forgiveness?
And you've heard me say this earlier, learn how to get out of your own way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you really think about it, most of the time we are blocking our own blessings. We're so stuck on something that somebody else has done to us. And like you said, 9 times out of 10, the other person has moved on and is not even giving it a second thought. But yet you're still there stuck in unforgiveness, which prevents us, of course, from being able to free ourselves spiritually and emotionally. Now, we've mentioned earlier, forgiveness is an act of our own personal will and obedience and submission to God's will and entrusting Him to bring that emotional healing in that forgiveness. And we have to also know, most people don't realize this, that God is the vindicator in our lives, okay? And that He does not want us to seek revenge. And you may mention of this, two wrongs don't make a right. So you seeking revenge makes you just as guilty, like you said, as that other person, okay? So, and you know, ultimately, know this, and like I said, this is a very simple phrase, but it really has helped me and keep my life in perspective. God, He sees all, He knows all, and He evaluates all. And I refuse to let or allow somebody else to control or block what God has for me. So, you know, if I expect God to give me what, you know, to forgive me, I have to also be willing to forgive others. So that's the advice that I would give our listeners. Now, at this point, I think it might be a good time for you to give your solutions and your scripture.
Exactly. And I want to thank you. As I'm giving these solutions, as our listeners know, I give a scripture and growth work. But Allie, you did an awesome job. You sent me this prayer after I completed the solutions that it's amazing how even some of the words are in there. So quickly, my solutions for tonight is, number one, forgiveness is about you and not the other person.
Right.
It is a choice, meaning that you simply make up in your mind that you will forgive the person or thing that has hurt or wronged you.
Mm-hmm.
When you choose to forgive, you free yourself from bondage and strongholds. And remember, you don't have to go around the person that you've forgiven. Talk to a spiritual leader, professional, or friend to help you work through your anger, hurt, and emotions regarding unforgiveness. And above all, know you must forgive because you love God and He commands us to forgive. Our scripture for tonight is Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 through 15. And it reads, "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And if we can pray this prayer of forgiveness, it says, "Dear God, I choose as an act of my will, regardless of my feelings, to forgive the person who has wronged me. I release them, and I set myself free to your healing. With your help, I will no longer dwell on the situation or continue to talk about it. I thank you for forgiving me as I have forgiven them. I thank you for releasing me. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen."
Amen.
Your growth, amen. And your growth work assignment is to think of someone who has wronged you and begin to take those steps towards forgiving them.
Wow. Wow, thank you so much. That prayer just really was the icing on the cake tonight. I know I speak for many of our listeners when I say that, you know, your solutions and your growth work are a key part of the show, so thank you for that. Now, as we get ready to close out tonight, please remember that we have made our new book club selection, and you can still sign up to be a part of that book club. The new book that we will be reading is entitled Room of Marvels, written by James Brian Smith. So please go out to the Atlanta Life Radio website, www.atlantaliferadio.com, and sign up to be a book club member. And also, please do not forget to mark your calendars for our April 30th, first Turn It Up Tuesday episode, when we will be joined by none other than Palmer Williams Jr. So I am so excited about that. And also, we remind you that if you like what you hear, please visit our website and listen to recordings of past shows and post a comment. And if you are on Facebook, please friend us on Facebook. You can find us at Atlanta Life Radio. And make sure that you plan to tune in next Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Atlanta Life Radio, again at www.atlantaliferadio.com, when we will continue our discussion. And continue to follow me on Twitter at AllieWard45. So on behalf of myself, Allie, and my co-host Doc, we thank you for joining us and continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life, and know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. Joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready. What God has for you, tell yourself, no, in you, Lord, I have my faith in. Even when it seems, that's when you look, that's when your breakthrough will begin. Failure. Known has come from you alone.